Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's The Sweet Spot, Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer talking all things golf. We will be looking back on last week's Sony Open, but more importantly, looking ahead to two fantastic tournaments this week in Abu Dhabi and over in the States as the 2021 golf season really does kick into gear. Steve, hopefully excited about what we've got coming up. Really, two absolute crackers, aren't they? Are you glad to see the back of the Hawaii leg of the tour?
Very much so, John. I mean, no sleep, no winners, no cheer. Did you get any sleep last week? Nah. Did you get any winners last week? Nah. Did you get any cheer last week? Kevin, nah. See what I did there?
No, it's a bit, yeah, I did see that, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, Kevin Na, isn't it? Because he's kind of one of these guys who's absolute, you know, journeyman, a little bit of a reputation as a slow player, once took about 34 on a hole, but, you know, he's always chugged along. But I was looking at his stats, Steve. He's 27th on the list of all-time earners in terms of active players now. Do you know, he's earned $34 million. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, he's become a right little fighter, isn't he? I mean, he used to be, as you say, a subject of derision, didn't he? For it took him so long to get off the mark. And then it was 7 years before victory number two. But he's actually won in each of the last four seasons now. I mean, he mentioned it in his interview. He was cock-a-hoop about that. His short game's always been amazing, but his ball striking's improved now. And he finished really strongly on Sunday. He did 4 under par for the closing six holes.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible that. So, course, Steve, I'm just saying that these players who can actually get the job done, they're worth their weight in gold, aren't they? So that's four proper tour successes. He's won a Greenbrier, he's won a Shriners. You know, they're not Mickey Mouse events, these. He's won four times in the last 2.5 years. And I mean, you might say, well, that's a long time. But in actual fact, in golf terms, it's not. If you've been having a fiver on Kevin Na every week since that run started, you're quids in, aren't you? I mean, we've got to start taking the guy seriously, don't we?
Yeah, and you could see he relished it on Sunday, didn't he? He actually loves the heat of battle now. Yeah, Brendan Steele, perhaps the opposite type of character. Yeah, that back nine for Brendan Steele was terrible. He wilted. Kevin Na grew in strength as it went on. I mean, that's another Sony winner that played in the Century the previous week. So we were on the right lines with that one. But Kevin Na shot a 79 on the Sunday of the Century. It was the worst round of anyone that day. I think that put a lot of punters off. He went off at 60-1.
Mm. Out of the four that you tipped, who did you hate the most when the tournament was over?
Oh, it's a pretty equal measure. I mean, they're all just floating around the same mark. Going into the final round, I needed one of them to shoot 59, which is not unheard of at YII. But, yeah, they all seemed to fancy a 69 instead and, yeah, got nowhere near. But, no, I know, it's a really disappointing tournament. I was hoping Chris Kirk was going to win, though. There was an amazing Chris Kirk comeback story, wasn't there? I mean, he carded four consecutive 65s to finish runner-up. That was his final major medical extension. He had 7 months off without, you know, recovering from alcoholism and depression. So he got major medical extension for that. Came back, needed a top three finish to retain his PGA Tour membership. Finished second. I mean, yeah, really gutsy effort from Chris Kirk. Yeah, yeah, good luck.
I didn't see that, unfortunately. That's one of the things you miss when you go to bed early. I mean, I just can't stay up till 2 a.m. watching golf anymore. I just can't justify it. But anyway, Steve, before we get on to this week's tournaments, I just want to tell you, I've got a friend who's a golf puncher. He really takes it seriously. He's always crunching the numbers. He's always inputting data into his laptop and, you know, running various programs. And then he presses a button. It spits out this week's selections. And yeah, this week he fancies the fella who won last weekend to win this week as well. Computer says nah. Delayed.
Good one. Yeah, yeah.
Delayed love. On that
yeah,
note,
very good.
What are we going to do first? Abu Dhabi or the Amex?
I think we should do the Abu Dhabi.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's look at that because it's the first European Tour event of the year and it's an absolute cracker. Let's run through the betting. And when I do that, you'll see just what a star-studded field we've got. Rory McIlroy, favourite, around about 6-1. Don't forget there are prices, you know, shop around for best prices and best place terms as well. So Justin Thomas, 13-2. Tyrell Hatton is 14-1. So is Matt Fitzpatrick. So is Tommy Fleetwood. So we've got a really, really strong field in the desert this week. Looking forward to it. No end. Steve, first of all, what kind of course have we got here? What test is it? Who does it suit?
We've got Abu Dhabi Golf Club. We've got 7,583 yards, par 72. It's hosted this event since 2006. Classic desert venue, open, exposed, traditionally low scoring. But if the wind blows, it can play difficult. And we've got plenty of wind in the forecast this week. There could easily be a significant draw bar, so we must alert punters to this. The forecast is for a calm Thursday morning, a windy Thursday afternoon, and then wind all day Friday. So players who get that Thursday morning window of opportunity could set the early pace this week.
And Steve, just for punters who maybe are new to golf betting and don't quite know their way around all the tools of the trade, to get that data on, you know, who's got a morning tee off, obviously you can look at a bookmaker's three ball times. That helps, doesn't it? European Tour app is also an invaluable friend here, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. The EuropeanTour.com. The tee times will be out late tonight, Tuesday evening. And yeah, my tactic is to have small investments now, and then if your player gets that morning berth on Thursday, then you can increase your stakes. I think it's sensible to wait before you pile in most of your money this week.
Okay, how many selections for Abu Dhabi?
I've only got three due to this tentative strategy.
Oh, okay, so the wind is really putting the wind up you, is it, so to speak? Yeah?
It is. But all things considered, I think whatever side of the draw Tyrrell Hatton gets in, I think he's going to be hard to keep out of the frame. He's double the price of Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas. So I think that means Hatton is worthy of our support. I've got to hold my hands up with Hatton. I didn't think he was good enough to become a member of the absolute elite. I didn't think he was a strong enough ball striker. I assumed his volatile temperament would be his undoing too often. But I was wrong on all counts. Last year, he won me over. Absolutely brilliant campaign. He had wrist problems at the end of 2019. He got that wrist fixed. And then last year, he was awesome. He made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Then he won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. He was a regular on leaderboards. He's up to world number 9. So Hatton has won me over. I've mentioned the win. That Arnold Palmer win was in really windy conditions at Bay Hill. He battled through it. And I think his short game skills are crucial this week. Everyone's going to be missing greens this week if that forecast is right. Hatton, one of the best scramblers in the business, absolute mustard short game. I can see him getting an overdue first victory in the desert on Sunday. He's finished second in the DP World Tour Championship. He's twice finished third in the Dubai Desert Classic. And his Abu Dhabi record is solid.
Steve, when you're a tipster, it's so important, isn't it, to have that flexibility of thinking. And you know, you can form impressions of people, but you have to be prepared to change them. I think in life, okay, if you look at politics and the way people are, oh, I support Brexit, I support Remain, or Trump and Biden, or people don't change their mind anymore, do they? But it's so important, isn't it, to be able to just, you know, swallow it and just say, look, I got that wrong.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. I'd like to think I get more right than I get wrong. But I remember Justin Rose when he first came onto the scene. I wasn't convinced, didn't think he would amount to much. And when he started missing all those cuts early on, I thought, yeah, got that right. Couldn't have been more wrong on Justin Rose. What a career he's had. So, yeah, you're right. You must be flexible in this game.
OK, Tyrrell Hatton at 14-1 is Steve's main selection. And who are you supplementing him with?
Next best is another Englishman, Tom Lewis. Tyrrell Hatton's got a couple of wins in the Dunhill Links, which bolsters that feeling that he's a good player in the wind. Tom Lewis has got a couple of wins in the Portugal Masters, which is another event where you often get a lot of breeze. Lewis has had a fantastic record as an amateur on links terrain. So I think it's safe to say that Tom Lewis handles himself well in the wind. I think it's safe to say that he likes desert golf. On this course, Lewis actually finished runner-up in the 2009 Abu Dhabi Junior Championship. A decade later, he finished ninth in the Abu Dhabi Championship. He's finished third in the Saudi International. He's twice finished in the top seven in the DP World Tour Championship. And at the end of last year, he was 11 under par over the final 54 holes of the DP World Tour Championship. He had a bad first round. He'd just come out of quarantine, had a positive COVID test, but he went birdie crazy from Friday onwards. I think Tom Lewis is ready for this. He finished second in the WGC last year. Easy to forget that in Memphis, you know, world-class field, and finished second in this, finished second in Memphis. I think Tom Lewis is well worth an investment at juicy prices this week.
How juicy?
Opened at 80-1, been nibbled 66-1.
Nice. Okay. And third in?
Third and final is Romain Langasque, who, like Lewis, had a positive COVID test before the Golf in Dubai Championship.
There were rumours they weren't going to play, weren't there? There was all sorts of questions about whether or not they're going to be allowed, wasn't there?
this was it. According to my sources, Lewis was extremely disciplined when it came to the quarantining process afterwards. Lewis was therefore invited to play in the DP World Tour Championship. Langask wasn't invited to play in the DP World Tour Championship. So Langask has not competed since the Cyprus events in the first week in November, but he's got bundles of Middle East practice rounds under his belt either side of Christmas. I think he'll return to action very strongly. He's had two solid Abu Dhabi spins. He was fourth in the 2018 Challenge Tour Grand Final in the United Arab Emirates, and he can handle the wind as well. I mean, Langask he made his European Tour breakthrough last year in the Wales Open, Celtic Manor, wind and rain howling. I've got no fears about Langask in that weather.
And might we get a little three-figure price on him?
125-1 he opened up at. But he's also been popular. I think three-figure prices are available.
Smashing. Excellent. Let's just talk about the front two in the market, Rory and Justin Thomas. How do you assess their chances?
I much prefer McIlroy to Justin Thomas. McIlroy's finished runner-up four times in this and third three times. He's been really unlucky. You know, he's got the ghost of Abu Dhabi has been against McIlroy. I've been on him for a few of them. He's had problems with the rules, you know, a dubious drop 1 year. And Justin Thomas, of course, has got no course experience. So I think McIlroy is the one, if you fancy one of the short ones. But yeah, you know, until you get those tee times, you know, if he's out in the Thursday afternoon winds, then you'd be put right off him. I don't like backing McIlroy at short prices in the wind. He's not played since the Masters. He's got a new driver in the bag. So yeah, I prefer McIlroy to Thomas, but I don't like either of them at the prices.
Well, Thomas is in a world of pain. I mean, it's all going wrong for him, isn't it? Since he scolded himself using that homophobic epithet.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be under a cloud for a little bit, wouldn't he? There's probably still plenty
of
questions.
He's losing sponsors, isn't he?
He's losing sponsors. No more horses on his chest anymore. So exactly. Yeah, he's probably pleased to get out of the States for a week. But I just don't like him because of his course debut. And I think we'll go again with Justin Thomas later in the year.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Steve. Let's turn our attention to the event in the States. It's got a quaint title. It's called the American Express. Where is it? What sort of course is it? And how many selections have you got?
We're in California. And we're at TPC Stadium Course, PGA West, and the Nicklaus Tournament Course at PGA West. It's a two-course event, this. It was previously a three-course event. We also had La Quinta Country Club, but that's been axed from the roster in these COVID times. They want to contain everyone at PGA West. It used to be a pro-am. Now it's just the pros. The amateurs are gone.
Bill Murray.
No. Well, no anyone, thank goodness. Yeah. I don't enjoy those tournaments with amateurs. I don't know whether that makes me a killjoy or not, but I prefer that. Yeah, it's a serious business, isn't it? Punting's a serious business. Golf is a serious business. Let's keep the jollity elsewhere. So the cut comes after 36 holes this time, a round on each of the courses, and then the final two rounds are at the stadium course. So three rounds on the stadium course. So that's the one punters should be concentrating on for course form. I think without the amateurs, they can set it up a little bit tougher this year as well. It's a Pete Dye design, the stadium course. Lots of similarities to Sawgrass. So that's another angle for punters to go at.
This isn't the old Bob Hope, is it? The one where they've got the canal running through the course and all that kind of thing. And those goats with massive great horns on the hills. Am I right?
It's had about 100 different names through the years. Yeah, you are right. Bob Hope.
That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah. Bob Hope, Humana. Career Builder, which was always one of my favorites, but now then we had 1 year as the Desert Classic when they couldn't even muster a sponsor, and now we're the American Express. It's probably the worst name it's ever had.
Indeed. Well, never mind, we don't care what it's called as long as we can back the winner. And how many darts you thrown at this, Steve?
I'm four. Sorry, that used to be
strategy.
My old joke. I forgot my old joke.
Yeah, did, yeah.
Wasted opportunity, wasn't it? Four.
Yeah, that's
right.
Okay, number one selection.
Number one selection is Abraham Answer. Both of my main tips this week, diminutive, determined characters. You know, Hatton and Answer, both real little fighters, and I think they can make us rich on Sunday. We were on Answer last year for this tournament, 40-1. He finished runner-up to Andrew Landry. He has heartbreak for us. 12 months later, he's going off slightly shorter, which is fair enough. He missed the cut by a shot in the Sony last week. Wouldn't worry about that. Nice little breather, weekend breather for a better tournament for him. And three rounds on the stadium course suits him. shot a Sunday 63 on the stadium course last year. This layout really plays to his strengths. Yeah, magnificent President's Cup debut 2019. Three-time PGA Tour runner-up now. He was so unlucky to run into an inspired Webb Simpson in the Heritage last summer. Even contended on his Masters debut in November. Rhythm is a dancer. Abraham's your answer.
Someone tweeted me that the other week and said, next time you tip Abraham answer, use that as the headline. But
yeah.
I mean, I like Abraham's the answer, but what's Rhythm is a Dancer got to do with it?
Do you not know the song? You don't know the song?
Of course I know the song, right. Yeah. But I mean, you can't have a headline that says Rhythm is a Dancer, Abraham's it. We might use Abraham's the answer, but
you can't have a song that says Rhythm is a Dancer. That doesn't make sense, does it? But yeah, someone texted me that tweet. And then,
yeah. Is that the song that contains the ludicrous lyric, I'm as serious as cancer when I say rhythm is a dancer?
Yeah. I still don't know what it means, but I guess he takes his dancing so seriously.
He must do.
He thinks that's as serious as getting cancer, which is crazy, really. Yeah.
Well, it is, isn't it? I think that takes silver in my list of worst song lyrics. Number one is, I've bored you with this before, haven't I? The opening line to Bros, I Owe You Nothing. Do you know that line? I'll watch you crumble like a very old wall. I don't write them like that
As someone who rates Scatman John by Scatman John the best song ever written, I don't think I can comment on this.
Okay. Right, so Abraham is the answer, but if he's
Abraham
not,
is the answer.
Who is?
And your next best is Siwoo Kim. The stadium course and Sawgrass, both Pete Dye designs, as we say, lots of similarities between the two. The stadium course has been described as sort of poor man's Sawgrass. You know, he has tried to make a similar track. And the greatest moment of Siwoo Kim's career, of course, came at Sawgrass, a three-shot Players' Championship triumph in 2017. And he was ninth in his first spin in this event in 2016. And he shot a 64 at the Nicklaus tournament course. And he shot a pair of 67s at the stadium course. His weak round came on the track, which has now been axed. So I love Kim for this. Nice 8-under par weekend in the Sony Open. Played really well in the second half of last season. We were on him for the Wyndham and it was Heartbreak Hotel. But I think redemption could come here.
Sorry, what price are these chaps? What price is Answer?
Abraham Answer's 30-1 now, because we had John Rahm in the field initially. John Rahm's late withdrawal on Monday night blew the market wide open.
Why has he come out?
I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to check. It's been all systems go. As soon as I came out the list, I was just working on alternatives. I was tempted by John Rahm. Unfortunately, I don't think I would have gone for him because it was all about chipping in the century, and he's got these new clubs. I will find that out, obviously, in due course. But yeah, you just got to focus on who's in it. And Siwoo Kim is 60-1. Abraham Answer, okay. 30-1. Yeah.
Righto. And your other two selections, Steve?
My other two selections at much bigger prices. Hudson Swafford, who we had him when he won this in 2017 at big prices. He'll be relishing the chance to get back there with some recent winning experience behind him. He won the Corrales Punta Cana Championship at the end of September. That's revived his PGA Tour career. He's played in both events on the Hawaii swing. 35-25 were his results there. Weekend rounds of 67 and 66 in the Sony. So I like the way he's building form going into this. And you may find that Harris English provides a bit of inspiration. Great friends, Hudson Swafford and Harris English, great friends, almost lookalikes. And obviously that Kapalua success for English may egg him on to big things. So yeah, Hudson Swafford, 150-1, I can see going well. And Maverick McNealy, Californian playing in his home state this week, former world number one amateur, slowly but surely established himself as a PGA Tour contender. Ended last year well, 12th place in the Mayakoba Classic. I think there's loads more to come from Maverick McNealy. So I can see him getting his campaign started with a bang. He's 100-1.
Okay. Out of the ones at the top of the market, you've got Cantlay, you've got Reed, Kupka, Scheffler. There's some good ones, isn't there? Blimey, you've got a thirst on you today, haven't you?
When you have no sleep, you get thirsty. I don't know what that's. Yeah, I've got a tea, a water and a Diet Coke lined up there. I just need it, mate.
Blimey, you've done well not to belch during the transmission.
Oh, Dan can edit all them out, can't he, at the end?
That's true, I suppose. Oh, yes, sorry. So we were talking about the market leaders, Steve. Is there any a particular one that you fear out of those, maybe one that you're happy to oppose?
I'd like to know Patrick Reed's fitness. You know, we were on him at the start of the year for the century. Then he had these shin splints and blisters, didn't he, with his new shoes withdrew from the Sony before the Sony started. So I'd love to know Patrick Reed's fitness, but I don't know that. So yeah, I'd fear him. of the front lot. Patrick Carney was disappointing when we were on him in contention in the century.
Could Cook could just come out and absolutely blow the field apart, or is he just not in the right kind of shape to do that?
If he can get his attitude right, as Carlton Palmer would say, in these regulation events, you know, you've got to improve your attitude. You know, remember, he used to give Gazza a lot of stick for his attitude. I think if Carlton Palmer was talking to Brooks Koepka, he would question his attitude in regulation golf tournaments. You know, and the majors coming along, he's all pumped up. But, you know, just a bit lackluster, isn't he? I don't like backing Koepka in regulation tournaments.
OK, fair enough. Right then, Steve, that's it. Let's solemnly recap your sections for anyone who might have missed them. There's only seven this week. Let's start with the Abu Dhabi Championship.
Would have been an enormous price on Carlton Palmer getting a mention in this golf podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, yeah.
Whoever backed that's done very well. Yeah, the Abu Dhabi Championship. Tyrrell Hatton, Tom Lewis, Romain Langasque. Check the tee times on Tuesday evening. If any of those three have got a morning tee time, up your stake.
Okay.
And then in the American Express, Abraham Answer, Siwoo Kim, Hudson Swafford and Maverick McNealy.
And if someone just had a couple of spare quid and they thought, I'm going to chuck this at a golf bet this week, so they only had one bet, who should they be backing?
They should have the Tyrrell Hatton Abraham Answer each way double. I
so
like that.
£1 each way double, 14 to 1 and 30 to 1. That's around about 430 quid, I think, isn't it? 450 quid, not bad, is it?
There you go.
With your place money as well, yeah. Even more.
Better than a whack in the chops, or whatever the saying is.
Absolutely. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed. How are your spirits?
They're low. I think everyone's got very low spirits at the moment, haven't they? You know, we needed something from the Hawaii swing to boost us during these lockdown times. But, you know, we're not at war. This is what I always try and remind myself and others around me. You know, this generation is still the luckiest that's ever lived. We had a year of, you know, watching the telly. You know, it's important to remember that generations before us are getting bombed by Nazis. We must try and keep our peckers up.
Yeah, no, very good advice, Steve. Is there anything particularly you're looking forward to this week to achieve that pecker uplift?
Tyrrell Hatton getting a morning tea time and winning the Abu Dhabi Championship, and then Abraham Answer finally getting a long overdue PGA Tour triumph, which surely will happen one day. Yeah, I mean, those two things, really. There's not a lot else going on, isn't it, in the world, is there? It's just we're all just in this sort of virtual prison watching golf.
Yeah, I suppose the vaccine rates are going quite well, aren't they? It's quite encouraging.
Yeah. Quite impressed with that. Well, we got 4 million down now.
$4 million. Will you have it?
Yes, yeah, I can't wait to have it. Yeah, and I want my parents to have it. They're both in their 70s. They're due any second now, so you know, I can relax a bit once they've had it.
Lovely stuff. Brilliant. Yeah, all right, then, Steve, what have we got on next week's show?
We've got another doubleheader, Farmers Insurance Open next week, isn't it? At Torrey Pines, which is the US Open venue this year. So all eyes on the Farmers Insurance Open. We must watch that like absolute hawks. And then we stay in the Middle East for the Dubai Desert Classic. So, two strong tournaments next week.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve, good luck with the tips. Thank you very much for joining us on The Sweet Spot. As we always say, do please bet safely. We're back next Tuesday. Hope you can join us for that.